I can feel his presence ever so near as we lift him up in worship and praise, as we magnify his holy name. He will touch us if we only believe. So open up your heart and now receive. Cast aside your every doubt.
Thank you.
gives me power. He gives me hope.
In the darkest hour,
He is my Jesus. He is my friend.
The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
He gives me strength. He gives me power.
Thankful for His Spirit tonight. What would we do? Or where would we be without Jesus and without the Spirit that He gave to us. And I just want to say how much I enjoyed the trip and give you a little bit of a. A lot of you have been asking me, and so I thought maybe I'd get up and share a little bit. We had a wonderful meeting, had a wonderful time, and enjoyed the natural part of it. But there was just something special about the meeting that meant a lot to me. Sherry and I went down to the Dominican Republic with Brother Smith this time, and our purpose was to bring back little Sarah, and it didn't work out like we had planned. Of course, we had a good hunch that before we left that we wouldn't be bringing her back, but so we wasn't that disappointed. But we did learn while we were down there that there is a chance we won't get her, but we did find out that what all we needed to do to legally to be able to bring her back with us, and so, or bring her back. So pray for us on about that, and keep us mindful in your prayers. But it's the first time I've ever had any experience with the being able to be in a Haitian meeting, and it was really exciting. We had a lot of people over there from Haiti, not that many from America that I knew personally. There was a lot of Haitians. There was a few Haitians there from America, but mostly, Brother Smith and I was the only white men there in the meeting. And he gave the story about, Brother Smith got up and gave the story about, I don't know whether you've ever heard him give the story about, there was a black brother, I don't know what his name was, he used to know that had the...
Brother Doug Taylor.
Who? Brother Doug Taylor. Brother Doug Taylor about the gypsy story?
Yeah.
How that he, went to a gypsy meeting and felt he was the only black person there. And anyway, I won't tell the story again, but that's how we felt when we were there. Brother Smith said that he was the only white person there. Yeah. And so, and I was, of course, the only other white person there, or other than our wives. But we had a good time, and we felt a common spirit. You know, it was a real deep body spirit there. And it was really a blessing. I've never been into I've been to the Dominican Republic now, I believe, four times. This is the first general meeting I've been to down there. And from where it was when I first went down there 10 years ago with Brother Smith to where it is today is phenomenal. And highly recommend anybody going down there and just experiencing it. You know, it's just an amazing experience. And had a wonderful time. The body the body spirit there, that's one of the things that was so special, is that the spirit of the body of Christ. And Brother Smith has asked some of us, you know, to share how we feel that what the body of Christ means to us. And I thought I might share a little bit, if God helps me, of how I feel, you know, Brother Smith has gave this testimony about me several times, how that when I first met Brother Smith, that, of course, I was real eager to know what all the doctrines that we taught were. And one time I cornered Brother Smith there in the church in the Dominican Republic. And I started asking him, quizzing him about everything we believed. And of course, there were some shocks that I had, you know, some things that was shocking to me that I'd never heard before. And but the thing that really affected me the most initially was that the body of Christ, and you know, my experience is probably different from some of y'all that, you know, been here your whole life. Some of y'all know my experience growing up. I grew up in a little Pentecostal, independent Pentecostal church. We were out of the Church of God, and we were just a family church, and my dad and his brothers were the ministers there, and it was just us family. We're small, probably 30, at the most 30 people in our church growing up. And but this one of the spirit a spirit that we had was that we felt like we were the only people in the world that had the message of to be able to get to heaven. And you know, I used to tell my dad, I said, you know, you think that us 30 are the only people that are going to make it to heaven? And it really bothered me. That was one of the messages that, of course, my dad, he had a vision somewhat of Babylon. He felt like all other religious organizations and groups was Babylon. We used to read, I grew up, every Wednesday night we'd have Bible studies, and we would go through Revelations and different scriptures, different chapters of the Bible. And of course, we felt like everybody else was Babylon and we were it. And so I knew that wasn't right. I knew that we weren't the only people in the world going to heaven. Of course, anybody that we love to have fellowship with, other groups of people that come around, that had we believed in holiness, holy dress, and we believe in the Holy Ghost. And of course, we loved anybody that had any, you know, that were sincere and dedicated to serving God. But if they didn't believe exactly the way we believed, we would run them off, because we'd tell them we can't have fellowship with anybody who believes different than us. I'm telling you that, give you an idea of how I felt when I met the body, because Brother Smith started teaching me the message of the body of Christ. And I said, Brother Smith, you know, this ain't right. Of course, see, all I seen was about 30, you know, I was going to church when I met Brother Smith, and his church, there was about 30 people going there, you know, and it reminded me a lot of the church that I grew up in. And when he said, you know, I started getting that feeling like, you know, these people think they're the only ones going to heaven. And so that, you know, feeling hit me. I'm like, you know, this ain't right. You know, and Brother Smith had the message. It was during the time, of course, just about the entire time, I mean, from the time I started going to Brother Smith, he taught on Babylon, how all other these churches out here were Babylon. And that affected me because that was one of the things, the message that offended me growing up. Because I knew there was more than just 30 people going to heaven. You know, there was at least 144,000, Brother Goss. It was in the Bible. It says it. You know, I knew it didn't add up. So, of course, and this is one of the things, I'm trying to remember who it was that said this down in Haiti, that the body of Christ is something that you understand. It takes understanding to find the body of Christ. You can't see it. It's something you can't see with your eyes. And of course, when I met Brother Smith, all I could see was, you know, here's 30 people that think that they're the only ones going to heaven. But I did feel something. And that feeling kept me there until I started getting a vision. But I remember that day, Brother Smith, you know, he said, well, and I told him, I said, Brother Smith, you guys aren't the only ones going to heaven. I don't care what you say. You know, that's just not the way it is. And you know, of course, how do you tell this to somebody? I remember here a while back, I was at my boss's house, and his wife called me up, and of course, when you know, your wife of somebody that owns a building company, you can just call somebody up and have them come do whatever you want. You know, you want to move furniture, move hang pictures or whatever. So she called me up. She wanted me to help her pull some curtains down and fix them, just move some furniture around or whatever. But there was somebody there, and I still don't know who it is, but she's got a housekeeper or family member, somebody that keeps her house that is Pentecostal, and she wears a long dress, and like I know there's something there, you know. I'm not sure what all background, but she started asking me about my church. She goes, what church do you go to? Well, she knew that I was adopting this baby from the Dominican Republic, and that was before the earthquake, and after the earthquakes when she invited me. I think she was just wanting to know some stuff, and so she wanted me to come over to ask me some questions. And she asked me, she goes, you know, our church is wanting to get some money to the Haitian people and was wondering, you know how we could do that. And so, she wanted to know what church I went to. And, you know, it just hit me. Like, you know, I tell her we're gospel sent. You know, are we First Gospel Church of Little Rock or the Body of Christ? You know, how do I tell her? What church are we? And so I told her, you know, what I told her was that our church name is First Gospel Church. We're an independent church, but we're not independent. You know, how do you tell them that? I said, we've got churches all over the United States that we're in fellowship with. And I said, our message is the body of Christ. And I said, we're a close-knit group of people, and we love one another. We get, you know, when you go to our conventions, everybody knows everybody's name. I said, we've got missionaries in other countries, and they have all that same spirit. And I said, that's our message, is the body of Christ. But, you know, after that, after I went home, I'm like, you know, what could have I said to help her understand more? But when it comes down to it, it's a revelation. You can't explain to somebody the body of Christ. You have to see it. When Jesus asked Peter, he said, what do men say, who do men say that I am? He said, Peter said, some say Elias, some say Moses, I believe. Some say John the Baptist. And Jesus said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And it was like, well, you're Jesus Christ, the Messiah, you know? And it was obvious to him. He said, yeah, but Peter, nobody told you that. He said, flesh and blood did not tell you that, but it's been revealed to you by the Heavenly Father. And that's the same way with the body of Christ. You can't tell this, flesh and blood, nobody can tell you who this is. It has to be revealed to you. And so hopefully, you know, if somebody comes in here, there's enough love and enough of the Spirit of God here to hold them until they can get their eyes open. Brother Smith shared something with me while I was down there that meant a lot to me. He said that it was the first meeting he went to when he met the body. He said, of course, the Holy Ghost really touched him during the meeting, and he said they went out to eat afterwards. Well, the Spirit of God really came into the meeting, and there was, you know, the laughing, you know, real joyous laughing spirit. And he said when they went out to eat, something came over him. He just started, I mean, it was in a restaurant, and he said he just slid under the table and just was laughing. He said uncontrollably. And he said, nobody knew what I was thinking, but he said the thought that was going through my mind was this, that I found something. I found a mystery. Nobody told me what that mystery was, and I can't tell nobody. And he said that. He said he just started like cracking up. He's like, what am I going to do? I can't tell anybody. I found something. I can't tell anybody. You know, and that's that's frustrating for somebody, especially like Brother Smith, who had, you know, he came in here and had a calling on his life. So, I mean, I just kept thinking, you know, that's the same. Of course, it took me a while to get that revelation that this is the people of God, you know? when you get that revelation that we are a chosen people, then you're a blessed person, because nobody told you that, but God told you that. And that's what's special. Of course, you know, when Brother Smith first told me that, you know, all I was seeing was just a little congregation of people, and of course I explained to you where I come from, and that's why it offended me. I didn't know that. Of course, the longer I started coming around, I started realizing there's more to this than just this small group of people. And not just more people, but there's more. I mean, there's some understanding. There's something special here. If it's okay, I'd like to read a scripture in Matthew, the 13th chapter. One of the things I'm just kind of experimenting with y'all, because God's been dealing with me a little bit about trying to read more scriptures when I get up. So, but I'm a little bit awkward with it. So you're gonna have to bear with me a little bit. But in a The parable that Jesus gave on the when he gave this the parable of the sowers. His disciples asked him, you know, what, in verse 10 he says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And so, I want to specify where it's saying that they didn't understand, and understanding is something that that Solomon, in all his wisdom, he taught that understanding is something that we need to seek for. But here, there's something I want to read on down to where he where he's talking about the sower here. Said, hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, and some 60, and some 30. And so to understand the word of God is what is something that only God can give you. It's Solomon said to buy the truth and sell it not. And also understanding and wisdom. But an understanding heart is something that we have to receive from God. That's something that we can't see with our eyes, or we can't gain that just by getting knowledge. We have to have the Spirit of God, has to anoint that. And so, to bear as a young man, to grow roots in this, we have to have understanding. And so, To understand the Word of God is what I long for. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to use my phone here or not. But this ain't humming. I'm trying to use it for references here. Let me try that. I turned it on airplane mode. I learned that on my trip. So this message is a mystery, and something only that God, that Jesus can give us. And I did a study here the other day on the mystery, and I thought there was some interesting verses I come up with. In Matthew 16:17, well, that's okay. I've already read that. And Jesus, this is where I was quoting a while ago about when Jesus was talking to Simon. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In Romans 16:25, "But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, hath made..." Okay, in verse 25, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, hath made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith." So this is a mystery that has been hid throughout the ages. And he's talking about the mystery of Jesus, the mystery of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God know no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I felt these scriptures were pertinent to what I was saying. And so I'll just read a couple more and sit down here. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in the earth, even in him. I think that is the God's purpose. That's God's will in the earth, is that that he can gather all things in one. And let me read another scripture in Ephesians 3 and 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is to his is your glory. And I'll read in Colossians 1 verse 26. Start in verse 21 and said, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unremovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I read one more scripture, and let's just read on down here a little bit more. It says, whereunto I also labor, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted and knit together in love, and unto all riches of the assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father of Christ. Okay, and this is in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That in verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so, I think I'm in the right place. I think that's my point. You know, God, I'm thankful that God has revealed to me where I'm at. And it's a revelation. It's a mystery. I've always grown up enjoying reading mysteries, but there's no greater mystery. There's something so deep. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that findeth a treasure in a field, and he hides it, and he goes and sells all that he has and goes back and buys that field so he can have that treasure. And so it's not only something that's a revelation, but it's something that we have to sell out for. We have to sell out everything we have to find it. Brother Goss was talking about the rich man, which, according to the flesh, he has obviously was doing all that he knew, doing everything to please God. But yet, somehow inside of him, he knew something was missing. So he went to Jesus and asked him, Lord, what am I lacking? And Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And so I believe that's something, at least in our spirit, that we have to have a willingness for, is to give, sell out. Give everything we have naturally. You know, as give it to God. You know, let everything we have belong to God, and completely devote ourselves to God, so that we can find this treasure. It's a commitment in our heart. And I'm just trying to challenge. I know that some of our young people, especially our young men, are struggling. You know, I had this trouble when I was growing up, a struggle to maintain interest, you know, in going to church. Why is going to church so important? Brother Green has us in the Dominican Republic has a son that is struggling to stay in church. I mean, the guy's decked out. I mean, he dresses really fancy and comes in and looks. I mean, he's a handsome young man. All of his kids are really nice looking. But he come in, you know, and he rarely is there in service. And but just the sweetest guy. I mean, just the family is so sweet. Man, he come up and give me a hug, and he always seems like he always comes by and says hi and lets us know that he loves us and just, you know, to be a friend to us. But I asked him, I said, man, why aren't you in church? You know, we miss you. He's like, I said, brother, the flesh is weak. I said, yeah, but the spirit is strong. And I said, where do you get that? I said, where can you get that? You know, so anyway, think about it.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, just hard to contain. Thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful tonight. I thought, who am I? And what it, what is my house that the Lord has brought me hitherto? Hallelujah. But yet this is a small thing with God. Paul said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery. I feel so blessed tonight. And I know that I am, and we are blessed. We are so blessed. Say, we are so blessed. For God to bring us to such a wonderful, wonderful place. I look forward for a number of years. I knew it was something better, something else. One day God led me by the Spirit of God to this wonderful place. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful to be able to hear what I've heard over the last 30 years, and even today, Brother Durham and Brother Goss, and then these wonderful songs, that we're so blessed and so privileged to be able to hear. And Brother Goss said earlier that they sang them over and over. And when I came, I heard these songs over and over. And they just blessed me. Even today, same song, same meaning, same spirit. I thought tonight and today, as Brother Goss was talking about being blessed, and Brother Graham talking about Durham, rather, talking about these blessings will overtake us. Aren't you glad about it tonight? How can you be in a place like this and not be grateful? No matter what has happened in your life, the hardship, difficulties, glooms, uncertainties, all the problems that life afford, we can be grateful. We can be thankful. I'm thankful tonight. I thought as Brother could hear tonight, finding this, I thought, Brother Bright, we was talking the other day about this is that. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I had such a wonderful fellowship since I've been here. You know, sometimes I go to a place and I stay, I think, maybe too long. You love the people so much and the Spirit of God, you hate to leave. But I know it's the Lord that's urging me and inspiring me to go on and lift up his wonderful name. Talk about his goodness, how great he is. We serve a great God, and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. And I want to finish my course with joy. Thank God. not worrying about the things Paul said that befall me. He said, I don't count my life dear unto me. None of these things move me that I may finish my course with joy. And I feel today, Brother Weininger, that's the only way to finish. With joy. Hallelujah. You got to finish this with joy. I appreciate the wonderful times I had with Brother Daniel, Brother Tally, and stay home. And then on Friday, we had such a wonderful fellowship with Brother and Sister Crow, reminiscing, going back, and she shared so many wonderful things. I'm overwhelmed.